Let's learn. We're talking about talking. About Dibur. It's one of the most complicated areas of Torah. And we started last week with a, what seems to be something of a problem. How do we work out this business about what seems to be really important to be screaming and yelling and howling all the time? We saw from Rabbi Nachman that there's an idea based upon the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, as you recall, began by speaking about screaming quietly. Then we saw that Rabbi Nachman spoke about screaming without making a sound, right? Screaming internally. On the other hand, we have from Rishonim and Achronim that we saw that speak about davening, that the Ramban makes a big deal about this all over. I gave you an example or two of how the Ramban says that the importance of tsa'ak, the importance of yelling and screaming and davening out loud. On the other hand, there are sources that indicate that the most powerful davening is the kind that's done quietly. One thing is clear, that one must speak when one davens. We saw that from Chana, that the Gemara says, Rak Svaseha Na'os, right? That the lips have to be moving, the words have to be verbalized, which was the question we began with last week from the Maharal. Why? Because Baruch Hu certainly can read what's in the heart, that someone knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's the point. So we have, I'm sure, all the answers that we've all grown up with, which I'm sure are all true to one degree or another. But in order to understand tefillah, we have to spend at least, two months on dibur and speaking, what speaking is. This, by the way, will also help, I hope, in the meaning of lashon hara and mechilas and all things that are related to speech. Of course, I'm going to be spending the latter part of all these discussions talking about dibur with tefillah specifically, the davening. But Bez Hashem, it applies to all areas of speech. So, let's begin. This first statement here is taken from the Medrash Rabbah, from the Bereishis Rabbah. It's the basis of all our discussions that have to follow regarding the Koach of speech. In order to understand the Koach of Dibur, we have to first speak about the different parts of the soul, how the soul works. And what particular part of the spiritual hardware, kivyochel of a human being, what aspect of spirituality is employed when we're speaking. So we're going to have to talk about the different levels of ruchnius, the different levels of spirituality, terms that we're very, very used to hearing, not quite sure what the difference is, what's the nefesh, what's the ruach, what's the neshama. So we'll have to try to spend a little time, maybe one and a half classes, talking about that, and then we'll see where dibur fits in, and then we'll try to work in the world of dibur and tefillah. So let's begin. Kol ma'asha taroah. If you can follow inside, it's good to follow inside. And if you have the Svarim at home to be able to look into and to study, it certainly makes it much more worthwhile. Kol ma'asha taroah toldo shamayim va'aretz hein. So the Medrash says in Bereishis that everything that exists is either an offshoot, a byproduct of shamayim, of the heavens or of the earth, everything that exists. Shenemar, as it says, Bereishis bara Elokim es shamayim ves haaretz. So everything in the world is either shamayim dik or aretz dik. That's what the Medrash. Everything is either has a heavenly, transcendent quality or it's earthly and physical. B'sheni barim and helyoinu. On the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something that is connected to the elyon, to the higher world. Shenemar, Vayom Elokim Yehirakiya. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehirakiya, let there be a sky. Vishlishi Baram Natachtonim. On the third day, Kadosh Baruch Hu shifted to physical, to more of a physical component of creation. Shenemar, Vayom Elokim Tadshe Haaretz. Plant life and so on. Revi, on the fourth day, Hashem shifted back to the heavenly spheres, to the heavenly world. Hashem created the luminaries, the moon and the sun and so on. So Kadosh Baruch Hu seems to be going back and forth. Spiritual, physical, spiritual, physical. Once again on the fifth day Hashem returns to the Tachtonim. So he creates the creatures of the sea. So on the sixth day, now Hashem is running into a mathematical problem here. He wants to be fair. but there's going to be a problem, right? So b'shishi balivros es ha'adam. Omar, im ani borei el somin helyonim, akshav helyonim rab malatach tonim, b'riya achas, v'ein sholim bo. So Hashem said, if I create man from the higher beings, from the higher world, so then there's going to be an advantage of one over the physical world, mathematically, right? There'll be an advantage of the elyonim of the higher world, there'll be one over the physical world, v'ein sholim ba'olam. And then there won't be peace. There won't be peace in the universe. We'll talk about that. There won't be peace in the universe. V'im ani borei el somin ha'tachtonim. So now if I create man completely from the lower elements, from the lower world, then there'll be one lower element more than the higher elements, than the higher creatures, and once again we have the problem that ain shalom ba'olam, there isn't going to be peace in the universe. So Hashem decides, Ela harei ani borei el somin min ha'elyonim u'min ha'tachtonim. So Hashem says, so the only eitzah that I have, of course, this is not how Kesh Baruch Hu thinks, this is for us. The only eitzah that I have is to create the human being min ha'elyonim u'min ha'tachtonim, from the higher world and from the lower world. And here comes all of our greatness and all of our aggravation. And this, behemoths don't have any problems. Malachim don't have any problems. It's only for those of us who are stuck between heaven and earth that we have all these tzaras. So Hashem says, and he brought him to Yonim and Asachtan and Bishvil Sholem, so there should be Sholem. So there should be peace. With a chsiv, as it is written, Vayitzer, that's a tzaddik over there, Vayitzer, two yud in that tzaddik, Vayitzer Hashem alokim es ha'odam, ofrem and ha'adam. Hashem formed man, so Adam Ofer min ha'adam. You even have the two names of Hashem being used there, Hashem and Elohim. Yudke Vavke is more of a transcendent spiritual name, and Elohim is more connected to this world, right? Throughout Maaseh Bereishis, the name Elohim is what's being used more often, because Elohim means the master of all forces, of all disparate forces of the universe. So the name Elohim is really the name of physical creation, but the name Yudke Vavke, Hashem, is more connected to the transcendent spiritual realm of existence. So it says, "Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Esadam Ofer min ha'adama," from the dust of the earth, from the dirt of the ground, min ha'tachtonim. That's the lower quality of man. And vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and Hashem exhaled into man's nostrils the nishmas chayim, the living soul. So that's min ha'elyon. That's min ha'elyon. That's from the higher world. So in the human being there merges these two kochos, this is nothing new, these two qualities of the tachton of the lower world and the higher world. Therefore the human being himself is the nekuda sachibur. This is the essential point here, that the human being is the point of connection between heaven and earth. It seems that if there wouldn't be a human being, the world would be divided into two distinct realms, two domains. One would be a physical domain, the other would be a spiritual domain, and never the twain shall meet. And it would be simply two completely diverse, separate worlds, if not for the human being. So the human being stands in this place between heaven and earth. He has shamayim dika qualities, he has the spiritual min ha'elyonim, and on the other hand, he's min ha'tachtonim. So the tzuras ha'odim, the very essence of the human being, is that he is a creature who connects heaven and earth. This, of course, is the deeper meaning. I'm just trying to understand things in terms of the parasha where we're holding. That's, of course, this past parasha, the union of the dream of Yaakov, the dream of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu has this dream of the ladder. The bottom of the ladder was on earth, and the top of the ladder extends into Shemayim. So, of course, the symbolism of that is that there is this part of the human being that is very much drawn to physical things as a result of him being created min ha'tachtonim. On the other hand, there is this part of the human being that is the top of the ladder that reaches into Shemayim. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu has two names. Yaakov, which means the Akiv of the heel, which is the lower physical part of creation, and Yisrael, which is Li Rosh, which we spoke about, which means the mind or the brain, which is the higher, more spiritual quality of creation. And Yaakov Avinu, in that dream, is torn between the two ways of his father and of his grandfather. Avram Avinu was a person that was clearly more connected to the physical reality. He was a revolutionary. He was shaking up the world. He rebelled against his parents. He was involved in wars. He was a person of enormous wealth. And he was very much involved in the affairs of this world, in converting people and, you know, reaching out to people. So the way of Avraham Avinu was sort of the bottom of the ladder, rooted in earthly existence. Whereas the top of the ladder is the way of Yitzchak Avinu, the silence, the blindness, the distance, the withdrawal, the transcendence, the person who is, if he doesn't exist in the world, Kemat doesn't exist in the world, the one who doesn't take the world too seriously, that's his name Yitzchak means, who will laugh. So, the dream of Yaakov Avinu is really a profound description of the existential crisis that the human being finds himself in as a creature that is himself a ladder that extends from earth to heaven, that reaches from earth to heaven. That's the human being himself. Umalachei Elokim Olim V'Yoredim Bo means that the angels of Hashem rise and fall within the life of a human being, depending upon where are you on that ladder that connects heaven and earth. So the human being is the Nekudas HaChibur, is the connecting point. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if there will only be the higher world, if there will be more Elyonim, then there won't be peace. And if there will be more Tachtonim from the lower world, then again there won't be peace. This peace that the Medrash is talking about has nothing to do with getting along. It's not the kind of peace that is being discussed between Syria and Israel, which means that people will try not to kill each other. That's not the meaning of the peace that we're talking about. Shalom, of course, means shleimus, means wholeness. The universe can be whole only because of the human being who is the nekudas achibra, the point that connects heaven and earth. So the human being has these very strong physical tendencies. On the other hand, he is drawn towards spirituality. He has these Avraham and Yitzchak tendencies. Later on, 20 years later in his life, when it says in the Torah, which I've spoken about this in the past, by Yevosa Yaakov Levado, and says, and Yaakov was by himself, the deeper meaning of that is that he felt at that point when he had to meet Esav, which means every human being's encounter with the outside world, you have to decide, so who am I? Am I my parents? Am I grandparents? In other words, what's my path? He couldn't put it off any longer. 20 years since he had the dream, now he has to decide, so who am I? And there are these two parts within him that are in a state of war. So his battle with the Malach, with the angel, could also represent the battle that's taking place within every human being, which is, there's the Yaakov, the earthly side of myself, the Aretz, min ha-tachtonim, that wants to be like Avraham, my grandfather. But then there's the Malach side, so to speak. Not, of course, Rashi says it's the Sarosh Leisa, but to try to understand it in a different way, that there's the Malach part of myself that's telling me, well, the world is meshuga. Be a Yitzchak Avinu, close your eyes. Close your eyes to the world. As I mentioned once to Nashir, that in Rabbi Nachman's story of the seven beggars, which is the most remarkable and the longest of all of the stories, there you have the episode of the blind beggar who meets up with who comes to the simcha of the Chasan and Kala. If you've read the story, if you haven't read his stories, it's kedai to take a look at them. So he meets up with the, he comes there to the Chasan, out of nowhere he appears, the blind beggar. There are seven beggars in the story. And the blind beggar, who clearly symbolizes Yitzchak Avinu, begging means people who are begging for holiness in the world. So the blind beggar says to the people there at the wedding, you think that I'm blind, you think that I can't see? So of course I could see. I see so much, I could see things so deeply that I can't see this world at all. That's the blind beggar. In other words, a person who sees things truly in the deepest way doesn't pay attention, doesn't care about the absurdity of existence. So that's the way of Yitzchak Avinu. So the fight that Yaakov has with the Malach is the fight that's taking place on a different level within himself, the earthly side, the Mutz of Arts at the bottom of the ladder, fighting with the top of the ladder, who am I? Am I an Avram or am I a Yitzchak? The resolution to that is exactly what we're talking about. The resolution is that the Malach tells him, Lo yikari shimcha od Yaakov kim Yisrael, that you are not entirely Avram and you're not entirely Yitzchak. You are able to fight with men and with kivyachol with God, depending on how you translate that pasuk. That's the Targum Unklus, Targum Nosh. There's a difference of opinion how to translate the pasuk. You can contend with both worlds. Not only can you contend, but every Jewish person is doomed
to fluctuate between those two worlds, between Shemayim and Aris. So it means that just when you are feeling very successful in this world of Avraham Avinu, and you really, you know, everything is great, you have just the right family, and, you know, everybody has their shirts tucked in properly, and the girls look just right, and the house is fine, and you finally are able to have a little bit of time for yourself, and everything is great. So now you should be perfectly happy. So then there's still something inside of you that's not satisfied. That comes from Yitzchak Avinu, who didn't take this world so seriously, who closed his eyes to this world and was waiting for something deeper to unfold. That's the Shemayim part of us that's not satisfied with things of this world. And then we throw ourselves into things of this world. We throw ourselves into Ruchnius. So then we say, look, I have to work on this, and we take out the Tehillim, and we make all kinds of projects, and we finish Tanakh, and we're careful with Lashon Hara, and with Shek, and Rechilis, and who knows what. Every single thing in the world, we're trying to be careful. And then there's something that's pulling you back towards, you could use a night out somewhere, and you want to be, you feel that you're losing contact with the world. That's the predicament of a human being in this world. That's because we're caught between Shemayim and Aris. With the Nekudas HaChibur. Therefore, the Ari HaKadosh taught at the very beginning of the Torah that the human being himself is like creation. That the upper part of the human being is the Shemayim part that contains the heart and the mind. It's the spiritual realm. It's like Shemayim. There's a lower part of the body, which is the lower organs. That's the Aris. That's the earthly part. So the human being himself, with the separation in the middle, that's called the rakia. That's called the sky, the firmament that separates between the higher part of the person and the lower part of the person. That's why some men, when they daven, they put on a garter, which is really a din in Shulchan Aruch, to wear a belt when a person davens, because there should be some sort of a rakia that's emphasized at the time when a person is trying to muster up the koach tefillah. For reasons that we're going to be coming to, that tefillah is a profound exercise in this world of creating a healthy relationship between Shemayim and Aretz. So they're davening to put on a gartel to make that rekiah, which is mavdil, which makes a distinction between the higher world and the lower world. That's a very important thing in tefillah. It's a very important thing in davening. Not so much the gartel, although I believe that's important, but not so much the gartel as the healthy balance between those two worlds of Shemayim and Aretz. This is why I have a very strong chesed to start talking about Hanukkah, especially since I promised one of the chevra over here yesterday. The truth is, if I start on Hanukkah, then I go like that for the rest of the time. But the whole Indian of Hanukkah is truthfully connected to this Indian as well. In general, Chazal have promised that harogel b'ner, that if a person is careful to light Shabbos candles, the Svarma Kedoshim say that it's referring to Hanukkah candles as well. That Haragul Bener, having like bottom Talmid Chacham, will be worthy of having sons who are Talmid Chacham. Haragul Bener, a person who is careful with lighting the candles. The Indian of the Hanukkah candles and the Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles specifically, the Gemara tells us, because of Shalom Bayis, to bring peace to the house. So if peace, we understand on a deeper level, means some sort of a balance between Shemayim and Aretz. That's what peace means. Haragul Bener means, somehow with the lighting of Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles, a person establishes a healthier balance between those two worlds, between the higher world and the lower world. There's an obvious difference between Hanukkah candles and Shabbos candles, or Hanukkah candles and the candles that were in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash candles were dafka lit during the day, as you know. The Beis HaMikdash candles were not for the night, they were lit during the day, and they were lit inside. The Hanukkah candles were dafka lit at night, and they lit the mikra at the end, they're supposed to be lit outside, or at least what we do in the meantime is that we light them in a place that's facing the outside. The difference between the two is the difference between the world of the Tzaddik and the Baal Teshuva. That the light of the Beis HaMikdash is the light that is clear, the light of the Tzaddik, and the lights of Hanukkah, the lights of the Baal Teshuva. The peace that a person can bring to oneself with the lighting of candles, that one should ideally incorporate both of these worlds, the world of the Tzaddik and the world of the Baal Teshuva. The world of the Tzaddik is the world of Shemayim. It's that higher realm of things, it's that higher transcendent domain. The world of the Tzaddik is that part of us that has never sinned. It's that part of us that was always good and pure and perfect. That's the Beis HaMikdash candles. That's the candles, that's the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. That place of holiness. Hanukkah candles that are lit after in the darkness, Hanukkah candles at the time of the Jewish people, mamash falling to pieces. Hanukkah candles means the ability of a person to do tshuva, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and within the darkness of his or her life, to come back to Hashem, which is what Hanukkah is all about, to find that nekuda, that point of light in the darkness. That's Hanukkah. Therefore, even though the Yevanim, even though the Greeks were able to put out to destroy, to defile the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, but the lights of Hanukkah are with us till the end of time, and even beyond, as Chazal have taught us, that Purim and Hanukkah remain as the major yontifs. After Mashiach will come, there will be even greater yontifs than all the other yontifs. Because Hanukkah means the ability of a person to come to that Nekudas Ha'or, the point of light, in the darkest, darkest, most difficult time. In the darkest, most difficult time. It's the Koach of Yosef at Tzadik to remain at Tzadik in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim. When a person lights Hanukkah candles outside the house, we don't do it anymore. In Mitzrayim they do, but when we light by the window and a person looks outside, it's as if a person is searching outside of his own realm, out of his own Dalarams, his own domain, to try to find where is the Kedusha that can be found in my life beyond my immediate surroundings. Lighting outside, to illuminate the outside world. So what does that have to do with Shalom? What does that have to do with the peace that there exists between Shemayim and Aretz? Because ultimately, the Baruch Hu wants all of us to be tzaddikim and balei tshuva. Not just to be a tzaddik, not just to be balei tshuva. He wants to be balei tshuva, doesn't mean he wants to do an aveir, chas v'shalom. He doesn't want us to do any aveirs. Be a tzaddik, gezunt ha'ayin. But the way of serving Hashem, there's a way of the tzaddik, the way of the tzaddik which is in clarity and pureness and holiness. That's that heavenly part of us, that Shemayim, that which is the pure, undefiled part of ourselves. Every Jew has that. The Sfasema says that's the meaning of Magen Avraham. Hashem shields Avraham. The Sfasema says that means that in every Jew there's that point that's called Avraham, you know, that Hashem is guarding, and nothing can happen to it. That's called Magen Avraham. And there's a part within us that makes mistakes, and the part that's drawing us to things that are less than beautiful. And there we struggle with the world of Tshuva, with the world of Hanukkah. Hanukkah candles and Shabbos candles are for the purpose of bringing great peace into the world. Shabbos candles are more connected to the higher realm. Hanukkah candles and the space of Mikdash candles. Hanukkah candles are more connected to the lower realm of how do we succeed in the world of holiness? No, out of the world of holiness, how do we succeed in bringing holiness to our lives here, in this darkness, right now? So to create a shalom between the heavenly quality, the spiritual quality, and the physical, earthly quality is very much connected to the yontif of Hanukkah. Which means, Shem, I'll bring that up over the next few weeks as we go along. Okay. So that's the overall picture. The general picture is that the human being stands between heaven and earth. Now let's understand. Two. Chamisha Shemos Nikru Ula. Also this is in the Medrash Rabbah, Yudalat Tess. Chamisha Shemos Nikru Ula. There are five names for the spiritual within a human being. There are five names. We're talking about only about Jews over here. The spiritual contents of a non-Jew is subject to another discussion. There is spirituality, but it's not what we're talking about here. There are five names. Hashem has called the spiritual quality within us by five names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Now Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, which is always abbreviated in the Sfarim, is Nun Reish Nun, Naran. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama we're familiar with. Some of you might have heard of Chaya and Yechida. How many of you have heard of Chaya and Yechida? Okay, that's. How many of you know what they mean? You've heard them. You know enough that you don't know what they mean. That's also Madrek. Is the Sfarim say Tachlas Yedia Leidish, and the greatest understanding is to know that one doesn't understand. So there are two Madrek. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to know what they are after our discussions either, because we're not going to talk about them. Chaya and Yechida, that's the subject of Chassidus, not the subject of what we have to talk about for the purposes of our discussions here. So there's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. So this is Chazal, it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says Nefesh. What's the Nefesh? Zeh Adam. Or Zeh Badam. Shenema ki Hadam hu HaNefesh. Ki Hadam hu HaNefesh. It says in the Pasuk that the Nefesh, I'm not going to translate to English. We'll stick with that term. That Nefesh is connected to blood. All of the spiritual, well, the first three spiritual qualities of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama are associated with a part of the body. Which doesn't mean that it's only in that part of the body, but it's particularly related to that part of the body. So Nefesh is related to the blood. Shema ki Adam hu, Kedamu ha-Nefesh. That's the Nefesh. Ruach, She'ola v'yoredes. It's very important. Ruach is defined by Chazal as being Ola v'yoredes. It rises and falls. Ruach, wind. Ruach, I think they probably translate it as spirit. Ruach, the wind that rises and falls. Where does that come from? From a pasuk, one of the most difficult pasuks in the whole Psukim, in the whole Tanakh. There will never be a song for this pasuk. Shnemar, it says in the pasuk, Mi yodea ruach b'nei ha'adam. Who knows the ruach of human beings? Ha'olehi lamala, that rises, or can it rise, does it rise, that rises to the higher world above, ruach ha'behema, and the ruach of animals, ha'yoredis hi lamata la'aretz. Who knows? The spirit, the ruach of human being, does it rise to heaven, and the spirit of a behema, does it descend to the earth? That's all the Medrash has to say about ruach. It doesn't really help us too much, we'll see. Neshama. Neshama zuha ofia. Now ofia, Rashi says that the meaning of the word ofia, I didn't put in the hay there, I like to... That's alvav kai yud hay. Ofia, Rashi says, means ha'ikasha behen. Ha'ofia means the ikka, the essential, the main spiritual ingredient of the human being. That's what Rashi says. The Sefer Ha'aruch, the Aruch, whose sole intention is to translate certain difficult terms in Chazal, so the Aruch says that Ofia means Das, intelligence. We'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. So, that's the Neshama. That's all that the Medrash says about the Neshama. Because the Neshama is the Iker, and the Aruch adds, which is Das, the intellectual capabilities of human being. Chaya, this is the last we're going to talk about, Chaya in Yechid. But just to finish the Medrash. Chaya, Shekol ha'ivar meisim, v'hi chaya baguf. All of the limbs, all of the organs of a person die, but Chaya, this quality of Chaya, remains alive. I'm not going to explain that anymore. Yechida, Shekol ha'ivar mishnayim shnayim v'hi yechida baguf. All of the limbs of a person come in pairs, shnayim shnayim, v'hi yechida baguf. And the quality of yechida is singular, is alone. Okay. This is the basic chazal. But now we have to understand nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And to see how this speaking, where does speaking fit into this whole picture. And we'll see that dibur speaking is the, just like the human being, is the nekuda sachibur, the point of connection between heaven and earth. Within the human being, the point that connects the spiritual and physical is the koach hadibur, which is connected to the ruach. That's what we're going to see. So let's learn. Number three. This is from the Nefesh HaChaim, from Chaim Volozhiner. So Chaim says, "Ve'elo hashorosh bechinas." These three aspects: ma'ase dibur amachshava, ma'ase action, dibur speech, amachshava thought. Hein klal habechinas pnimius shel ha'adam. They are, in fact, a manifestation, or they manifest the three inward qualities or abilities of human being: shehem hashorosh bechinas, nefesh, ruach, u'neshama. I abbreviated it then, which I'll do Mitzvah for the rest of the time. Nun reish, nun nefesh, ruach, neshama. So Reb Chaim, this is not Reb Chaim's idea, this is all based upon the Zohar, it's found in the Tanya, except that the Tanya's terminology is much more Kabbalistic. So I chose to use Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Loshen, which is a lot easier to understand. So the three qualities of Maisei, of action, Dibur, speech, and Machshava, thought, are connected to the three parts of the soul: nefesh, ruach, neshama. I'm hoping this will help on the most basic level, just when we're davening and we say these words, nefesh, ruach, neshama, to know what's going on. For that alone, it's good to look at this piece of the Nefesh HaChaim. He wrote another sefer called Ruach HaChaim, but he doesn't have a sefer called Nishmas HaChaim. So, nefesh, Reb Chaim says, is connected to maise, to physical actions. Ki adam hu ha-nefesh. That's the pshat. Kamashakasu, he brings the pasuk, Gemaisi Hume Bekinis HaNefesh, Kamashakasu, Va'anefesh Asher Ta'aseh. It says in the pasuk a number of times in Tanakh, it uses the word nefesh with action. And the nefesh, it translated as soul, whatever. The nefesh that does. Va'anefesh Asher Ta'aseh. Ha'nefoshos Ha'osos. The nefoshos Ha'osos, the nefeshes that are doing. So Reb Chaim is saying that the nefesh is connected most to our physical ability to do something. Bahabe kiyotze ki adam hu anefesh sha nefesh shorim mislabish badam. The nefesh is enclosed in the blood. Adam lachen ikker mishkan adam hu anefesh sha nefesh shorim mislabish badam. The nefesh is enclosed in the blood, Adam. L'chein ikker mishkana bekovei. Therefore, the main place in the body where the nefesh is, the main part of the main organ of the body, which the nefesh is related to, is connected to, is the liver, the kovei. Anybody who has the name Yocheved, are there any Yocheveds here? No? All Yocheveds are connected most to that quality. In a very beautiful way. Now, it could have been in a bad way. But that's the word kaved, which is found in Yocheved. Okay. Shul kulo dam. Because the kaved, the liver, is kulo dam. It's completely saturated with blood. I mean, that's the whole nature of that organ. Omurutzas hadam, b'chol prate chelke hevarm, kli amaisim. And the blood circulates, Reb Chaim writes, through all of the limbs of the body, which are the kli ha'maaseh, the hands, the feet, and so on, which are the kalim of action, which we need to accomplish things physically in this world. The dam, the blood that circulates, gives the life force to the limbs of the body. Ha'maaseh chiyus ha'tznua, gives them the ability to be alive and to move. This v'yis'ayru sheyuchlu lifal as asher b'kocham, so that the limbs can accomplish what they need to accomplish. Then yumna marutzas adam me'aver achad, and if God forbid the blood would be obstructed from entering into one of the limbs, also ha'aver misyabesh, then that aver, that limb would dry up. The aver shum tnu and couldn't move. Lasso shum davar hu aver mace, it would be a limb that has died. Therefore, when we speak of nefesh, we are speaking about the most basic element of spirituality. It's just that quality that gives life to the body. It's nothing deeper than that. Ki adam hu nefesh. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, calls the nefesh shitufa de gufa. Shitufa de gufa, which literally means the partner of the body. The word shutaf, which means a partner. Mishutaf, shutaf means a partner. Comes to lishatef. What does it mean in Hebrew? Lishatef. To participate. Lishatef actually means to participate. Lishatef means to cause somebody to participate. Right. So shituf lishatef. Lishatef means to join things together. Participating means that there's somebody that's here and there's something that needs to be done over there, or there are people, there are children playing in this corner, and there's a child by himself or herself, and we want to be mishtatef the child to the chever. Right. That means to take this one and to join with the others. When the Gra uses the term for the nefesh, shitufa de gufa, I've never seen that in any other writings except in those of the Gra. I'm sure it's found elsewhere, just I've never came across it. It means that is that part of us that makes the connection between spirituality and the physical world. Is that part of us that makes that connection? In other words, it stands within the human being, it's closely related to, it's involved in the functioning of the physical life of the person, but it's in that world that is already leaning towards the Ruach and the Neshama. It's not purely physical, but it's the life force, it's that energy that gives life to the physical. That's the Nefesh. Therefore, the Oretz, the Eretz of the human being, the most earthly quality of the human being is related to dam, to his blood, to the nefesh. That is connected to taivas, to desires, to physical desires, all manners of physical appetites, the most base things that are permitted and things that are forbidden. Things that are permitted, it means a good meal. The things that are forbidden, those things that are forbidden by the Torah. But the taivas, the desires of a human being come from this quality of nefesh. Because it's the most animalistic quality of a human being. Even though we know from the Rambam Shemona Prakim, the Rambam begins by telling us that one should know that even the most basic elements of a human being are different than the basic elements of an animal. And one is not allowed to think, Chalila, that a human being, even in his most basic level, is the same as an animal. Apophichain, the most animalistic quality of a human being is nefesh. Is nefesh. Therefore, we'll find that a nefesh can also mean to desire. It can mean a cheshek. We'll see this later on. The word in Hebrew can be used as a verb. Shavas v'yinofash, we'll talk about also what it has to do with Mitzvah Shem. Shavas with Shabbos v'yinofash. So nefesh is the most likely to cause us to get involved in things that are not free, that are not nice. That's the koyach of nefesh. We have the term nefesh, habahamis, the animal soul. That's nefesh. Now I'm going to skip ruach for a moment because ruach is the clincher. Because ruach is what we need to understand dibur. So let's skip now to neshama. And we'll come back to ruach, even though of course that's not the order. The order is nefesh, ruach, neshama. We're going to go now from nefesh to neshama. These are probably all names of bands, right? All these. I don't know if they have chaya and yechida yet, but we'll go from nefesh to neshama, and we'll come back then to ruach. So number four, the Gemara is speaking about mishalo chasal kvod kono, a person who is careless, who doesn't have proper respect and so proper dignity to the kovod, to the honor of the one who made him. So the Rambam explains this in the Pirush Mishnayis, it's in Chagiga. The Rambam says, kol shelo chas al kvod kono, wrote above, the meaning of that is, mishelo yochus v'yachmel al sichlo, ki ha-seichel hu kovod Hashem. This is very consistent with the Rambam's whole way of looking at life. The Rambam says, what is the meaning when it says in the Mishnah, a person who's not chas al kvoko, who doesn't have rachmanis, who doesn't feel a sense of pity and compassion for the honor and the glory of the master of the world. So the Rambam interprets this to mean, on a deeper level, doesn't just mean for the Ribbono Shel Olam that you don't have rachmanis for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam probably didn't like this concept of who doesn't have rachmanis on the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not his thought. So Rambam says it means the seichel. It means if you don't have rachmanis on your neshama. Because he says that the seichel, for kavod Hashem, Rambam says, the seichel within the human being is the honor of God. Because the seichel is the godly part of the human being, the mind, the intellect. Therefore, he writes here number five, which is from the Moreh Nevuchim, Zeh ha-seichel asher shofa aleinu me-Hashem. The seichel, the intellect, which the seichel which descends upon us, which is poured upon us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mehashem Yisrael, who had dibuk asher beinenu ubeino. The intellect, the Rambam says, is what gives the human being the ability to connect to Hashem. To connect Hashem. The seichel is the neshama. The neshama is found in the seichel. That's why we understand now, we look back when it said in number two, when Chazal said in the Medrash, when defining the neshama, zuha ofia, the ofia, which Rashi says the main thing, the Aruch translated to mean das, intelligence, the intellect. So now we understand that the mokum, the place within the human being of the neshama, is the seichel, is the moch, is the mind, is the brain. Let me just explain here that the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us. But ever since the chait, ever since the sin of Adam HaRishon, the neshama does not permeate the brain anymore. The neshama hovers, is chofefes. The soul is ever delicate, in a very delicate way, is hovering above the brain. It doesn't penetrate the mind. Now that sounds like a terrible, thing. It influences the mind in a wonderful way, but it doesn't penetrate it. Although that sounds terrible, but there's a very big mila to that also. Because the Zohar Kaddish tells us that when a person doesn't aveira, the neshama is never involved in any aveira that we've ever done. At the moment when a person sins, the neshama retracts completely. So therefore, when we say every morning on the neshama shenasata b'taharahi, that the neshama you have given me is pure, it means that never in anything you've done have you ever drawn the neshama. The neshama is not involved. The nefesh and the ruach get involved. The neshama was never completely filling the mind of a person that it should actually be drawn into chait. When a person sins, he causes there to be a separation between the higher spiritual realm, between shamayim and aretz. That's the saddest thing about an aveira. When a person sins, when a person does an aveira, then the neshama, the shamayim part, the neshama withdraws in horror. Withdraws in horror. So, the common saying of people after they, when they wake up after doing something they shouldn't have done is, it wasn't me. There is some truth to that. But not enough to get us off the hook anywhere. But a person should know that even at the time of chait, even when a person, God forbid, does an aveira, the neshama hasn't chalila become sullied, become dirty and defiled. We don't do that, God forbid. Our neshamas, are mamish, like the day that we receive them. They're pure and they're holy. How all of this connects to the subject of Gilgulim and all those other things is something that we're not going to talk about. Now that everybody wonders about and nobody will talk about, and we'll have to wait for Mitzvah Hashem to find that on our own. Akoponim, this is the meaning of neshama. And neshama is connected specifically to the malach, to the mind. But again, we must understand that it does not permeate or penetrate the physical mind, but it hovers in a situation which is referred to sometimes in the Svarm as mati v'lo mati, as touching and not touching. So when we're involved in holiness, we have a way of drawing the neshama to holy things. Then the neshama can momentarily touch. We make contact with the neshama. But when we do an aveira chas v'shalom, so the neshama withdraws. So even when a Jew sins, he's still connected to holiness. That's why the Baal Shem Tov's famous teaching that I've mentioned many times, that the word chait, which means a sin, has a silent aleph in it. Ches tes aleph, the silent aleph means the Baruch Shalom, the aluf v'shalom, the master of the world. But even when a Jew sins, he should know that he hasn't, God forbid, he hasn't defiled the part of him that is godly, that is holy. The ruach and the nefesh are terribly injured. But the neshama is chalila, is not. So what we're up to, Mitzvah Shem, what we're holding for next time, is we're holding by the ruach. So I would ask you to please either hold on to the pages, or to, if you leave them here, then I can have them next time. But bring them back one way or the other. Leave them here or bring them back. And next week again, we're not having class next week. I have to be away. And Mr. Shem will resume classes on the following Wednesday night. And is Hanukkah? At this point, he's fine. After, I mean, it's okay with me. Hanukkah is a time to learn. No?